we're continuing the Ran's ninth speech. We're up to page Shin Mem Dalid. The Ran had been discussing the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ran had been discussing the idea of prophecy for Moshe, prophecy for the Jewish people, the idea that the Jewish people had to grow into prophecy and Moshe did not. The idea of Moshe praying and asking God to forgive his sin and God refusing. What did Moshe mean when he said, because of you, God wouldn't forgive me? The idea that Moshe was saying, it's because God values you. And my sin, Moshe says, involved speaking disrespectfully to you. So because of you, because God loves you, the Jewish people, God wouldn't forgive me. Because God says, I'm not willing to forgive the disgrace of my people. And the Medrash also alludes that when Moshe was asking God, forgive me, let me into the land of Israel. So I hit the rocks, I spoke to them and I called them rebellious ones, but forgive me and let me in. And he asks it as a chanina. He asks it as a free gift. Not because he thought he deserved it. That always blows my mind. Because I don't know what's about you, but I know me. When I stand up to daven, I have a hard time not thinking, hey, I deserve A or B or C. It's very hard to realize we think, look at all the good things I did. And we tend to forget all the things we should have done better, or we could have done better, or the things we did wrong. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's asking his request of God, he asks it and he says, I need it as a freebie. He doesn't come and says, look at all the wonderful things I've done, and in my merits, of course, I should get it. Amru b'sifri, the medrash that's called Sifrei Debei Rav, says, on the verse of Etchanan El Hashem, Moshe pleads before God, Zeu she'amar ha-katuv, about this the verse says, Tachanunim yedaber rash. When a person's poor, so he speaks in a request for mercy. He asks you, please, can you give me? He knows he doesn't have any claim on you. Shnei parnasim tovim ayu lehem li'Yisrael. The Jewish people had two great leaders, Moshe and David. And they did so many good things, they could keep the whole world hanging in their merits. And when they make requests of God, Moshe and David, they ask for a freebie. Please, can I have a gift? They don't say, God, look at all the good things I did. Please, give it to me. They're not making demands, in spite of all the good they've done. Yes.
I understand Moshe and David, but why specifically them as opposed to Ezra or Shlomo or another great leader that we've had?
I think maybe they outdid the other leaders and all the good deeds they did. Huh? Moshe and David. It would seem that way. At any rate, they taught us this lesson. V'tamo shel davar. So the reasoning here, shekshatzadik mitbonen b'cheto asher chata l'Hashem yitbarach, when a tzaddik looks at what he's done wrong, when he looks at the sins that he's done, he thinks about it and he says, oh boy, how could I ever get forgiveness for what I've done wrong? Because it's known, because the greater the person against whom you've done something wrong, the greater the sin. So if God, we say, is beyond any limitation, God is greater than anything, nothing we can say encompasses his greatness, so then when a person sins against him, his sin is so tremendous, it's beyond what a human can grasp. So that's why our sages say, that pious people act out of love of their Creator, and even when they're suffering, they're happy with life. Because a pious person looks at what he's done wrong and says, all my suffering doesn't add up to anything from what I've done wrong. We work the other way. We say, God, I'm living here in yeshiva and I have to share a room with four guys. Boy, am I doing you a favor. Look at what I'm giving up in order to learn your Torah. We look at every little inconvenience as though we've done so much for God, and of course God owes us. We all know that, right? We walk into Shmona Esrei and we think we're doing the greatest service to the world. But a tzaddik looks at it differently. A tzaddik looks at it and says, there's no limit to what I've done wrong, and everything that every inconvenience or pain I have doesn't come close to what I really deserve for what I've done wrong.
That's going on the notion that
tzaddikim
do things wrong.
Right. The verse says. There's no tzaddik on the land who does right and never does wrong. Right. It's a verse. Someone asked me, I was on the phone with an alumni of the Machon a few nights ago, and as I was walking, we have a corded phone at home. As I was walking with the phone, he suddenly hears a crash. I knock down my wife's favorite cup off the counter, and there goes the cup. So he asked me a day later, he said, how'd you break the news to your wife that you broke her favorite cup? So I told him, that's not a question because we were talking at night and the crash of the cup woke her, so I didn't have to break the news to her. But my wife once gave me a pair of earrings that she really liked. We were on the way to the Simcha and I put it in my pocket. And I sat down on the public transportation, and it fell out of my pocket. And we never got it back. And I can only tell you that I felt so bad. It was so obvious that I felt bad that I didn't have to say anything. Even as I spoke, she was like, she saw I feel bad. And I'll tell you the truth, a decade's passed since then, and I still feel bad. Every time I think about it, I should have been more careful with her earrings. So I'm just saying that as a small example. We take something, let's take something really small. So you lost your wife's earrings. It's not nice. It doesn't feel good. And if you really care, so then 10 years later, you still care. You still feel bad about it. How do I know? Because a few weeks ago, we happened to come across something we were... I lost one of the earrings. So the other one we still had. So my wife asked me to pass her. I picked up the earring, and then I realized, hey, that's the one I don't have a pair for. And again, I blushed, thinking, okay, I lost the pair of that one. When a tzaddik looks at what he's done wrong to his creator, so then he thinks that's huge. 10 years later, it still bothers him. We can all understand that story with the earrings, but we're in the month of Elul, we're supposed to do tshuva. How many of us remember what happened 4 months ago? What about Tishrei Cheshvan a year ago? Do we remember? We stand there and we say, I have to do tshuva. I don't know what I have to do tshuva for, so we remember a few biggies, and we forget everything else. Everything goes by the wayside. A tzaddik doesn't work that way, specifically because most of his life is right, and because he values the gravity of what he's done wrong. So we're in the middle of a thought. The Ran is discussing why Moshe asks for a freebie. He's done all these great mitzvos, and yet he says, God, give it to me for free. And this is what he's discussing. In just a second, I'll get to you, Ari. I just want to conclude with one point, because I do have to go off on a tangent here. We're learning the Ran, and I have to stay true to the text, because we're learning the Ran. But we're also in Machon Meir, and it is the beginning of a new year. And here in Machon Meir, practically, the way a person should do tshuva is not to be so tough on themselves and not to sit there and say, oy vey, look at all the bad things I did. The way we grow is by looking at the good we've done and looking at the positive, and through working with the positive, we grow and develop more positive. And as the Hasidim say, sur meira vaasei tov, sur meira, turn from that which is wrong, vaasei tov, and do that which is good. So ordinarily, we look at it as two stages. You got to stop doing what's wrong in order to start doing what's right. The Hasidim say, you stop doing what's wrong through doing what's right. Sur meira, turn away from what's wrong, al yedei, through asei tov, through being more focused and doing more good. And I think that a person shouldn't be hard on himself. What we're learning is important, to understand the verses, to understand Moshe Rabbeinu, to understand the tzaddikim and where we should aspire to. But we also have to know that at our stage of the game, we have to be positive, and we have to be focused on the positive, and we have to recognize the good that we do. And that's what Rav Micha Hyman often says, that although we study the works of previous generations, we have to be careful in their application, because our generation lacks the mental health. We're not healthy enough psychologically. We don't have enough self-confidence. We don't have enough self-worth to read this without it destroying us. So we have to work on building healthy self-worth And then down the road we'll be able to apply this. Shabbat Shalom.